minute. Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording. With Josh Jensen and Tommy Jackett.
It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 153. Tommy Jackett and Stacey June.
Oh,
what's going on?
It's the band's back together.
Semi.
Plus
the tech guy.
The annoying roadie.
the remote anchor.
Oh, this is nice. So this wasn't planned. I mean, how did this even happen?
What was planned?
Well, wasn't planned with Stacey you.
Wasn't planned with me. I just messaged Stacey and said, are you coming into the studio today? Yeah, I'll be there at 3:30. Is that still cool? All right.
Well, Josh and I are we're in fairly regular communication on the gram, aren't we?
Yeah, that's where all my hours go. I just randomly DMing people. I'm that dude who will just, it doesn't matter who you are, I'll just fucking DM you and respond back to your stories.
Well,
that's where all my time goes.
That's pretty quickly offended me, because that's just meant that the conversations we were having weren't of any meaning to you whatsoever.
No, I'm happy to. I see every story that I see as an opportunity to have a conversation.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm not voyeuristic in that regard. On the actual posts I am, but I feel like when I'm viewing someone's stories, it feels like I'm sort of entering into their world. So I feel more comfortable just to comment and have a discussion and find out more.
I did get a response to one of my stories from Stacey. So I felt like she was trying to communicate to me in some way, sending out a bit of a beacon.
What did I say?
I can't even remember. It was like laugh. You laugh. Oh, you
just
said
a cry face.
She said you love a line, and that can be taken out of context.
Well, depends what era, I guess. But the dad era, not so much. But
yeah.
What line? Oh yeah, you're obsessed with storying people lining up for things, and you've done it for years. Are you going to give your new listeners any context as to why we know each other?
Correct, because we have actually been pulled up about
that.
This.
We literally got an email about it. Apparently we don't. I mean, the whole thing with podcasting, which I love.
Sorry.
Is that, I like it. We like air checks live. That's how we like to do them.
Yeah, we're real sickos. But, the worse they are, the better.
From the fired radio girl still trying to get her podcast up. Yeah, she's the person to air check everybody.
it's a good point. I mean, the thing is that with podcasting, we see it as an opportunity just to like not give context to everything, and just like our idea is that if people want to know shit, they have to listen to every single episode to understand. So if they listen to maybe episode 30, they may have heard a mention of you, or in when Tommy was in Shepparton, we did a live show from Shepparton. But basically, Tommy, do the Stacey.
So
do
you
the
keep
official
it. So
radio
the,
style.
It's a new Stacey age podcast hook. Like, it's literally keep people guessing.
It's more the kids that do shit despite their parents, and the parents were the radio executives or people that told us what to do.
Yes.
So we just stick it up there.
Oh, I'm liking this show already.
So, but I want to, I will introduce Stace. So Stacey and I had a radio show together in Shepparton, and we talked a lot about what the time was like in Shepparton on episode 50 when we did it live from the deck, which was a bar that wasn't there when we were there together.
Really? Is it nice?
It's
would we have gone there?
Definitely.
Decent coffee.
Yeah, it's got fake grass.
Whoa. And and now they've got boutique beers. Is that what's going on? Yeah,
and,
right.
There's booth service there, so you can buy a bottle. It's They do it really well. So did you ever meet BMAC?
Yes.
Yes, so BMAC. Yes, you know BMAC.
And also at your wedding.
Yeah, he was at my wedding.
He's a very big networker, isn't he? Because he connected 100%. To me on Facebook after the wedding, which I don't think I took him up on that. But you know, kudos to him.
So Stacey
and I. Nice guy.
So we worked together for about a year in Shepparton, was it?
Yeah, it was. And I remember actually thinking, I will get out of here in exactly a year. Yeah. And I think I resigned almost a year to the day.
So if we're to break up the percentage of work effort between the radio show that Stacey and I had and her, what she's gone on to have success in, the Thinker Girls, it was probably 90% Thinker Girls, 10% our show, even though we had a full-time show to run, which was 5 days a week, 3 hours a day. So, I mean, you got out of it what you needed, which was a job and a segue into potentially doing your own thing, and it worked for you. So,
Are you calling me lazy?
definitely for our show, not for your own.
Yeah, so you're
focused.
Yeah. I guess it's interesting because at that time, and I loved our show, like I had a good time doing it, but I suppose I was very ambitious and strategic in that I just knew there was, I loved our chemistry, but there was nothing unique about another guy and a girl coming up, you know? So I knew that there was something different about Merce and I, or Christy and I. And so I think it was like, where are you going to put your eggs in at that point? Mm. So yeah, for sure I was focused on that. But it is probably, it is quite naughty. But at the same time, we were both with that network. So we were also kind of subtly encouraged in a way. Like we were able to get away with a lot because I think they may have thought they may have ended up giving us the show. In the end, it was another network.
Well, the reality is you get put with people that weren't your friends before and you're meant to become friends. And out of the two that I got, you're the good egg.
Yeah, thank you. Even the lazy-ish, but I made it more fun. And I told everyone to stick it. You guys were just actual teacher's pets. And then I got there and I was like, no, no, get effed, no, no, I'm leaving at 12, no. And that allowed you to start doing your stuff too. Yeah,
and don't ever... I don't care what you say, Stacey's not a princess. The way you just delivered that.
Oh, yeah, okay. But are you being sarcastic?
I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, so I am a princess,
no,
you're
not.
Think?
No.
I know what you're not being sarcastic. The way that some people can be like can paint the industry.
Yeah.
It's this idea of pain in the ass talent who will do the bare minimum and stuff
like
that.
Okay.
But I think that where you're coming from, it makes complete... You're literally using... It's probably not a bad way to finance a podcast. You know, just like go out and... I reckon that's probably a better strategy than actually doing a regional show in itself.
Oh, 100%.
Doing a podcast and making a bit of coin.
I was,
and upskilling. I
was very aware of what I was getting from it and very aware of what I was able to deliver on air. I think probably off air, but I still feel like... I might sound arrogant, but I still feel like I delivered some of like as good as anybody else in terms of an on-air thing, and that was what I was paid to do. And then it was often the station around us just didn't invest in the show either, so it's very easy to. I mean, would you agree with that? Like you kind of treated pretty roughly out there.
And, they should give you a budget to go and have fun after the show,
or
and
just a budget to do anything. I mean, like you know, like to actually build content. So you kind of, you know, and you're right. It does sound a bit diva-y, but I also thought, well, I'm going to put in as much as you're going to invest.
Well, the way you said it with leaving at 12, it does sound it, but it was exactly what we should have been doing and I wasn't doing it.
Granted, we got there at 5, you know, so it's not a going home at lunch situation.
So that's how Stacey and I know each other. We kind of knew each other before that, but more just...
Mutual friends and stuff.
Mutual friends. Yeah. And then we got thrown together. And what else do we need? How else do you do a radio interview?
I'm liking the banter already. I'm liking the slight pushback that Stace gives to you, TJ. But the...
he didn't know what hit him.
I even felt it. I remember the... even working on a national show as a digital content producer and having to buy my own GoPros. I remember I'd bought a digital camera probably a month before I started at the radio station, and when I started at the radio station, I said, "Oh, can we get some GoPros? Because I need to be able to. I want to do more than a one camera
you
filming
do,
when
no,
we have fucking.
You want to do
Justin
your job.
Bieber.
You want to do your job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I literally ended up returning my camera that I bought personally and bought 4 new GoPros, and then I had to beg to be able to go to London for the Olympics to do digital content because I'm like, I just don't think I can do much from Melbourne. And the whole thing was me using the GoPros. And so, yeah, I think that maybe that's changed. Maybe culturally they're now double downing on that sort of stuff.
Well,
do you get that vibe?
Well, digital became a thing, right? I mean, before I was on air, I was doing your job, Josh, not the national part, but I was on a national show up against Hamish and Andy. Was a show called Raimonti and Whipper.
Yeah,
and
right.
I was their online producer. So I was doing what a lot of digital producers do now, but very different because the expectation, you didn't have to know how to edit. If you could take a photo and figure out some form of, there was no filters then, but if you could form, you could maybe press, like there was like light, medium, dark or something. There was like, you know, different versions of filters. you didn't have to do as much, but digital was becoming, I don't know, they were looking at it as a priority, but very much like podcasting now or things that are up and coming, they know that it's important, but they're not yet ready to invest the money. So you're kind of doing this dance in between. I think it is different now.
It was the Christian Hull era in some regards. Like Christian Hull talked about the fact that he knew fuck all about this stuff and just learned. I think that I was probably in a slightly different position where we had Jules Lund, who's pedantic and into video and was working on Getaway. And so I had my job interview with him. And so the number one skill was video and all that sort of thing. And now you wouldn't be able to get a digital job within radio if you couldn't work your camera.
I do think radio have pulled back from the video focus though. I know when we were hired, I had a show, it's called The Thinker Girls, and the podcast did end up getting on a radio station, and we were very much hired to offer a video component. Contractually, we had to give a sketch video or a Thinker Girls video once a week. That's how video focused radio was a few years ago. I think now, so they've realized, not necessarily don't do it, but stay in your lane a bit, because I think they overtried and it ended up affecting the focus, I think. And I certainly saw it affect the focus in our show. We were doing everything too much.
I want to just sort of, we can move away from the Shepherd and stuff, but there is something, and I don't know if you remember me talking about this to you at all, Josh.
Oh, no.
The time that we got almost a stalker charge put on us.
Well, no, what's the official thing called?
What is it? No, stalking. It's,
where do they say then you can't come and meet someone? You have to stay away from them.
Intervention order? No,
why can't we think of this?
RVO? What is it? Like a
I got
restraining
a restraining order.
Order.
We almost got a restraining order.
I mean, just look at the
order.
Documents. Did you get any letters?
Well, no. We were close, though. I was starting to ask for paperwork because I was starting to get that scared.
It was ridiculous. So just to paint the picture, we would leave the show every day at 9 a.m., go out the door and go to this coffee place. Do you remember that joint?
A tradition that I was very, very keen on starting.
It was great.
It was good.
I just didn't do it with the last person because we weren't really mates.
You didn't really get along. Yeah, I loved that time we had from 9 till 10 was just our mate time. Yeah. It was not about the show. It wasn't about the show we just did. It wasn't about the show we're about to do. It was just let's have a coffee and read the paper, have a bit of a chat.
And so we walked into this coffee shop that we frequented and in came a
remember
few...
What was the guy's name?
So we had two.
Not one Chucky.
Ginny.
Shout out to Ginny. I love that bloke. He's still awesome. Following me on Instagram.
Yeah,
same.
Oh my God. So Ginny was the
what
barista.
What a legend. Love Ginny.
Made great coffee. And one day we were in there and in came two strapping men in uniform. And one
I was
of them,
very single at that point.
Yeah. And one of them caught Stace's eye. I mean, it caught my eye as well. Is it? You know, a man
I
in
did,
uniform.
And I do love this about you. Like the greatest gift you can have in a straight man friend is that they are also willing to be confident enough in themselves to say,
being a big guy.
Yeah, well, that guy's also good looking, which Tommy was always very happy to entertain me.
How embarrassing for Stace you didn't hear the episode where I came out. No, I'm joking. Yeah,
exactly.
No, as we all know, that's no issue either. Either way, whichever way you float.
We decided the next day that we'd create a search for the hot cop of the GV.
But let's just also paint the picture. We have a radio show in the valley. So as much as it was little and regional, it still spread far and wide across Victoria. So a lot of people could hear it. And particularly for those of you that I guess haven't lived in regional cities or regional country towns, you know, people listen to their local radio. Like they listen to their local show. They don't give a shit what's in Melbourne or Sydney or Brisbane. So we were on air, and whilst it was seemed a little to us city kids at the time, people really heard what we were doing.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big audience for them.
In every shop that you walk into. Yeah. You hear yourself in the supermarket. It is a cool experience. And
I think sometimes we didn't take that very seriously, though, which is one of these times, I would have thought.
It's also because of how early we were getting up, and no one really gave a shit what we were saying until they had a problem with what we were saying.
We were just, that's it. It would be when there was an issue, we would find out that they were like, oh shit, I better look back and see what they actually did.
Yeah, pull it up in the logger.
Yeah.
Fuck the logger.
But we did. We went on air and we said, do you know this cop? We named him. I forget his name, and I'm even too scared to say it now because of how much trouble we got in.
And so we ended up getting people calling through. I think I've seen him. So, it actually was working. It gained a bit of momentum.
Well, we went off air and built an arc. Arc in radio terms is that you build different shows across the week to build momentum.
Yeah,
and
to capture the
let
guy.
Let me just remind everyone and tell you, Josh, our boss was also involved in that build momentum discussion, who was also involved in the one telling us we might get fired. I'm like, hang on a minute, mate. Yeah, weren't you also here?
You're not going to be, but you can confirm that the boss won't be on A Current Affair crying, apologising when it all, the shit hits the fan.
Well,
everyone will be like, whatever you do, don't mention the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there mustn't be bosses according to the radio industry.
I've still got all of the breaks from that arc.
Do
because
you?
What happened was...
Oh, you'll have to put them in here. Sorry to give you more editing.
No, we don't do that.
We literally don't fucking edit. There's no way that's happening.
So this is sort of fast forwarding in the story. We got called into a meeting and it was like we were being... I've been interviewed at a police station and it's confronting.
Yeah, right.
I had never done anything wrong, so
were
I'll
you
just
a witness
point out
to
there.
Something?
Yeah, I saw a stabbing, but they thought it was something that I was involved in. Anyway, that
Jesus.
Feeling of you're coming down to the cop shop, you're basically arrested, and they put you in a room and they just grill you on it. And it felt...
Yes, actually, I have had my Mirandas read.
Oh, yes.
That's terrifying. So I get where you're going with this.
And it felt like that when we walked into this room because you and I were just happy, oh, yeah.
Yeah. When can we go?
The feeling inside of me was like I was a kid again and I was getting in trouble and it was really serious. And, you're just you've gone white because you thought you were doing the right thing and everyone was sort of saying you'd done the right thing and then all of a sudden you're in heaps of trouble.
I remember that feeling. You've just taken me back, actually, because I also mostly remember feeling like we weren't protected.
Yes.
Because I really felt, oh, my God, we may have potentially hurt this man or we've done something that scared him.
Yeah.
Because essentially over the next few days, more and more people started to ring. Mm. And what some people would call ended up being a bit of a witch hunt to find this guy. But we didn't know at the time it was a witch hunt. We thought it was innocent way to set me up with this bloke. Yeah. Who is this guy? There were footy clubs that are like, yeah, I reckon he plays for that team. It was at training, people talking about it. It was at schools. Everyone's like, aren't you related to the guy that Tommy and Stace were talking about? It became this where, basically, where's Lynette, the teacher's pet? It was let's find this woman's body. It was let's find this guy. But honestly, we really did mean for it to be just let's get him on the show and you would have a joke and say, go on a date with Stace. It would never happen in the end,
Exactly. And so I had to collate all of the breaks where we talked about anything to do.
Oh, see, this is the part where I mustn't have done work.
Yeah,
I got sent off.
Logger, and I kept all of the audio. So I have a file, and it was called Phil Bradley, who was the regional program director.
He wore a suit with cowboy boots. I actually wore cowboy boots.
Shout out to Phil.
I feel like you guys,
if you had to go to court and Phil Bradley was there, by the sounds of how you're describing it, you would be fine with the cowboy boots. You'd be protected.
Yeah. So I collated all this information. And it all came to a head when the head constable of the police station called our radio station, said, you got it, this has to stop. And then so potentially he was going to file harassment claims, etc. And it was just this, the wind was taken out of our sails.
Yeah, it was awful. Yeah. We're both pretty sensitive souls though, underneath the bravado, I would have thought. And we really didn't think... I'm just looking at you and it's taken me straight back to that moment, actually, because I was like, it was very scary. I think in very early days of not being on air for very long, you just forget that potentially there is a bit of power behind that,
So it was a scary time, but it was funny. And I just want to fast forward now because I messaged you about this and we haven't spoken about it since. I can't for the life of me. I was wasted and I met somebody out. This was in Melbourne and... It turned out this girl her brother was the cop that we were looking for.
And what did she say?
She said he didn't even give a shit. He was like, yeah, it was just a bit embarrassed. His mates were all pulling, like saying, oh,
you've just triggered all these emotions in me. And now you're telling me that actually it's a good chance he doesn't even care.
It's why I'm a good broadcaster.
You guys are all about the hooks around this joint. You guys are like just lethal for the hooks.
Yeah,
we need all our guests to cry once. So we've only got 40 minutes.
I feel like I'm on a roller coaster. And so legit, like he
legit, he didn't give a shit. And the girl said it was pretty funny. And there was nothing of it. And I told her we got
still single
so
or
much
I know, I'm married.
Yeah, that's right. You're married. So yeah, it far out.
Wow.
The joke's on us, pretty much.
Oh, and that just tells you a little bit about that time. It was a real, you know, it just felt like a bit of a power play quite often. So, goodness me, you couldn't pay me enough money to go back to that place felt so tired, so impressionable and so vulnerable, you know? Goodness me. My show.
Going back to the podcasting stuff, do you get sort of, so you got Thinker Girls, how long have you been doing that for now? It's been like six and a half years,
coming up to seven, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Well, Josh had his first podcast when he was 15.
Yeah. But do you get a bit sort of disenfranchised by people when they start talking about podcasting and getting excited and you see new podcasts, especially think about our podcast, like we launched it this year. Is there a frustration that you get or an eye rolling that happens when you see people at that early stage?
Not really, no, because I think the more people understand, I've always been a really big advocate for having people just understand what podcasts are, full stop. So then there's this kind of opportunity and freedom for people to listen to what they want. That's where my driver is on that, I think. I like the idea that if potentially people, we could really see the numbers behind who was listening to radio and what they wanted to listen to, the programming and the on-air shows would be very, very different. So I think I like the idea that it's a fair game a bit. If you get on a podcasting hoster and you put something up that people want, you'll see pretty quickly that people want it and you'll do well. And if people don't want it, they won't listen and you won't do so well. And I think that's a good thing. And then if people are listening to your podcast, then they at least know what an effing podcast is. And that helps all of us.
Yeah.
Because for such a long time...
Was it a slow burn for you guys?
Yeah. And for such a long time, it's a lot of the messaging has been more about getting people to podcast. And then you have to think about selling your show. So for us, because it's been going on for so long, we would be so excited about selling the kind of show we had. Not selling it, but just, you know, bragging and love. We love the show that we do, and especially our podcast show. But there was such a big amount of time that would happen after you would do one sentence about telling people how to download it, where you can listen to it, how you know, and you would end up just being tech support for Arnie Joanne, but not just Arnie Joanne, also for Sarah, who's in your unicorn. Like, it's like everyone for a long time. So, No, I think it is awesome because I think that means that the industry is building.
I remember a time in Shepparton. Sorry, I just can't help but go back. It was some of the greatest years and some of the worst. I remember there was something that went on where you lost all of your episodes. And don't you worry, I heard a lot about this.
Well,
it became my problem as
well.
Yeah,
well, I needed your help, didn't I?
It was full on.
We were on an FTP site. Remember the old FTP, how you would share files and there'd be like three different windows? Yeah. This is if you've ever done any form of back-end tech, but it was old school and you'd have to drag the folders over and one of the folders just randomly disappeared one day, which had our archive in it.
Can that actually happen, Josh, or did someone break in and delete
it? Yeah, so no, FTP is just like a file protocol. So it's just like imagine you've got a server, which is a computer, and FTP is the way that you access the computer and you can drag files and all that sort of thing.
So it's like
essentially, it's the equivalent
the cloud.
Locking up on your desktop. Yeah, you've got, sort of, but it's like the equivalent of you going onto your computer and all of a sudden the folder that was there in Finder is no longer there. It's sort of the same thing.
And because
did you end up sorting it?
I think we ended up having backhand. We literally had one bloke that was the audio. He was in audio production doing, you know, you can come down and get your boots for 50% off on Saturday. He was doing those kinds of ads in Albury, and he had a bit of a side thing that he'd do, I don't know, just a few random little things for us for close to nothing, like good bloke.
He's since filed a restraining order on Stacey and Christie.
It was his F up.
Oh, no.
So we ended up, I think, backing some of it up. And I think when we changed podcast hosters the beginning of this year, we went over to Acast, and they actually encouraged us to put all our oldie episodes up. And we're running an event series at the moment. And last night I spoke to a listener and she said to me, I've just binged every single episode. And so people have loved the old ones. So I'm glad we put them back up. But, yeah, we must have found them because they're all alive.
Because you were doing it before, like the platforms, all those platforms have now been released where it makes it so much easier and safer. Oh,
it's ridiculous. It's kind of crazy to think we had a mission. You know, I mean, I'm not – I was doing producing roles and those kinds of things. So I've always had a bit of I'm open to tech. I'm certainly not the same now because it's so much more advanced. But we had something to say because we were going through the hurdles of having to get all that stuff done in a prehistoric game. And we did it because we really wanted to do the show, you know.
So I had the radio show with Stace and then she left. And what did you do? Basically, the next gig was your own radio show.
I think it's important to also know that I moved into a garage, literally closed the door on radio because they weren't giving us – we couldn't get a show. So it wasn't – it certainly wasn't as it was hard and a lot of risk. I moved into – my girlfriend's here with me now actually recording this, and I moved into her garage and was writing odd articles and putting flights to Sydney on my credit card to try and sell the podcast. That was, 4 years ago. People laugh at me. You could barely sell a podcast now. And I'll be like, we've got this great idea. Could we get a brand on board? You know, properly door knocking. And then we started to talk to a bit more tally, and I was kind of like, no, I'm not going to beg for a job. Like, I believe in this. I'm not going to beg radio, you know. And so we closed the door a bit, almost got a tally show, Channel V. Channel V died. One of the chicks that really liked the podcast idea happened to live across the road from one of the bosses at Kiss and told him that we were about to negotiate with another network. And he knocked on my door and I started doing a segment on Kyle and Jackie O.
That's great.
In hindsight, Stace, the energy that you're putting into trying to get that radio show, do you think you would do anything different? Like, now that you can look back and you see people making the same mistakes or stuff like that, what has been the long-term learning of that journey?
It's a good question. It's good that we're chatting today and not 3 months ago because it seems a little bit clearer now. But... you know, the interesting thing is even when we got the show, so we thought we would never get a show with the type of content we did on the podcast, and then we got a show with the boss saying, we want your exact podcast. We want this show to be different and we want it to just go out with a bang. Like, we want to shock people. And we were never there to be shocking. We just liked the content. But if that worked for them, then great. But I do remember saying to Christy at the time, do we actually really want this? You know, we walked away and yes, the money's there. Yes, we want to move to Sydney. Yes, this is a big national show. Yes, it's all the glitz and glamour and it looks very shiny. But we are able to sit back and say, do we actually want it? And I think for some reason, we did. You know, we were in regional radio and it was a great move for our brand. But when I look back, there was also elements that I think weren't going to be the best for us. Radio takes up an incredible amount of your time. We had started to pitch really strong television show pitches and we loved our video content. I loved the performing and the acting part of that, and I didn't really realize that was happening. I was just doing it to do content. And then when it was taken away, particularly this year, I realized I missed that stuff more than I missed the radio, because the podcasting was actually the way I like to broadcast. So I think what I learned was you do things for different reasons, but if it was a complete creative decision and not the ego and not the money, I don't know if we would have done it, believe it or not. Maybe there's a way that could have taken you somewhere else. So I don't have regrets, but when I look back, I think the next, if that came through the next time, I would try, I'm in a position where hopefully I can make the decision on a lot of fronts, not on a front where you're like, I need a bit of cash and I need the profile boost.
Josh, I got asked last night by somebody, she said, would you, do you want a radio show? And I got asked by Gaundy this week. He's like, are you guys doing this because you want a radio show? And it's so good to be able to go, not one
bit.
No way. Yeah. And I think it's, in terms of the way we had our show in Shepparton, like our the format of this is so much better. Yeah. And now I probably get...
And you used to get very frustrated by time, I remember.
Yeah.
Because you liked layers.
Yeah, I like
And you hit form. Your stride when there was layers uncovered. Mm. And I was trying to get a radio show and prove to them we could get in 3:30. But I also liked that hardcore conversation, but I was so ambitious, you know. Mm. But I look back now and I think that's why we got along, but at the same time, I wanted that radio show, and I think it's just because you that's the next step, you know. Mm. Like you just kind of follow what the patterns are, but
it's the next logical move, and it's what everyone thinks you need to do.
And when you're in the bubble, it's very hard to look outside the box.
I said on one of our episodes, it's titled "Women in Radio," I think, and I said that I hadn't asked you this question, but I'd like to ask you this question.
That's okay.
Yeah.
the episode's in show notes if you've missed it.
Yeah, it's definitely not in show notes. We don't do show notes. But just look.
I don't have time for show notes. Sorry.
No one's got time for show notes.
Go to my Instagram and I'll send you the link just to give you a helping hand. Jesus.
God, she's hungry for likes.
DM Stace.
No, I'm just trying to help some people out. Just get the content to them a bit easier.
But it's with the sort of rise of podcasting... And Josh, I mean, me jumping on the bandwagon as such, like starting a podcast pretty late, I said, I wonder if Stace regrets moving from this growth in your podcast. I remember you guys were getting like 50,000 a month. Mm-hmm. This was in podcasting, was a fossil.
Mm-hmm.
It's so and like, we, no, and it wasn't we a fossil. Had no it was brand new.
We had no profile.
Yeah.
We weren't on any reality show. Like we were on Little Towns and breakfast radio shows.
And so I was like, I wonder if they regret sort of moving out. Because you did. I don't know. What happened to your podcast? You did. It wasn't the same format. You had a real job to be doing every single day.
And it took up a lot of time. And we loved the job. We did. But yeah, it is an interesting question. Well, I don't know if I have the answer yet. We haven't lost those listeners. So I guess in high and they're only growing more and more month by month this year as people are very, I don't want to use the word dumb, but you know, we did fucking obviously dumb. we did an article about, you know, how shit went down for us. So we did the radio show and then we got fired last year, if anyone's trying to keep up. But we did an article about, not about that actually, about something else, but it did come up and people started to message us. This was, I think our last show was in October and the article went out in April. People were like, oh God, I thought you guys were just on holidays. You know, so.
My favorite banter on your Insta stories is explaining to people that Spotify's a bit fucked in the feed and to start using. Like I saw a comment the other day where it's like, hey, you haven't uploaded in May since May. Is that just like super frustrating for you?
Again, it's just going back to we want to be able to – I want you guys to have a show. If people want your show, I want you to be able to make money from doing a show. Mm. I want us to be able to make money to do a show. If it means that we're early to the game and we're helping educate the industry, I'm proud of that. So it does frustrate the shit out of me, but I really am. I think it's important that we are able to gain a bit more control over what people are consuming in media. And I don't think that means everybody should do it. Like everyone needs to get paid. Not everybody's putting a quality product. But you're a broadcaster, you've been in the radio industry, there you go, there's experience, you know, and the same with us. Yeah. We're both broadcasters, and so if that means that bit helps, we just bite our tongue and tell them again that just download a podcast app.
Mm.
Do you remember the Skype conversation that we had 4.5 years ago?
That was what I was going to say to Tommy. I'm going to talk about on the show because I actually think I've known Josh longer than you, which is crazy because I feel like I've been married to you, but in a weird work way. But
I pulled up the email. I remember the call, but
oh my
God,
don't
remember...
even tell me anything about that email.
Read it, Josh.
You were basically the short version is that you got my details from Kerry Jones, who you worked with in Nova at Nova. Basically, you're just wanting to talk about an online project. But you were in Cairns at the time, so we Skyped. And I remember I get really excited about stuff. And I remember I'd listened to Thinker Girls. And I think I was just adamant that you just should keep going with the podcast. I remember it was that time SEA was sort of showing interest. And my vibe was the anything that... your benefit, the thing that you bring is only going to benefit the radio station. Like adding radio, I thought was only going to fuck what you had because what you had was intimacy, connection with audience. You had a tribe, all of these things that at the end of the day, and it's the same reason why Em Rusciano has a show is because the radio station see this amazing tribe she has and they're like, okay, well, we can leverage that rather than, I think like at the end of the day, Em Rusciano is going to thrive, I think, being her own media company, just the same way that you guys are going to thrive as your own media company. I just remember almost, it was probably looking back, I cringe a little bit because I get into this advice, mansplainy style mode where I start just... smashing this sort of thing.
I think...
Mate, there's no mansplaining coming on from you because you don't even know how to be a man, so... just had to add
is
that.
Is that true?
No, well...
I mean, I wouldn't know.
I'm a bit femme.
But he loves to explain things.
I always know things.
That's the thing.
Well, I think also you are curious and what comes with curiosity is a level of intelligence that I think people often put as a bit of naivety. Does that make sense? So and I rate curiosity formed intelligence rather than know-it-alls or, you know, bossy. And you're curious. So that means that you've looked in plenty of different boxes or, you know, you've looked down different roads. So, yeah, I never took it as you trying to give me advice as such, but more that we were having an open conversation about ways that media was going to go. I mean, this would have been five years ago, and so much has changed already.
And I remember, I think that part of the context that I have, I think that people still don't necessarily get it, but it's like the experience that I've had, like I remember in 2005 sitting in my room listening to podcasts and becoming fans of different shows and recording my own stuff. And I think that it's once you have that context, I think that if you start with podcasting, I never understood the desire to, I never had a desire to have a radio show. Like I think that that was one of the interesting things with even working within the radio industry. There's always, Tommy and I have spoken about it a lot, where it's that stigma of anyone that's around radio wants to be on air. And for me, it wasn't necessarily that I wanted to be on air. I saw it as like, I wanted to be creating something. I wanted to create an audience. You know,
I totally get that because I remember the first piece of advice I had when I was off air and somebody said to me, don't get to do both. You can only do one or the other. And I was like, well, that's ridiculous because I feel like I've got interest in both. I like helping build other people's ideas and I actually think I'm a good extender. Like I feel like, oh, yeah, this, and I can creatively kind of collaborate. But I also knew that I had strong ideas of my own that I'd like to communicate in the way that I like to broadcast them and express them. At that point, I couldn't have at all articulated that that's what it was. And I was just very impressionable and very new to the industry. But I remember being sent to South Africa because I could do both. And it was back in online days where you weren't sending just random online people to go. But I was like, I can present and I can film and edit. And I remember someone telling me that piece of advice, you have to choose, just after I'd gotten back from that trip. And I thought, well, hang on a second. I just went to the World Cup in South Africa. I think I'm going to leave your advice to the side. You know, like, and it, but it was very, very the radio industry of like, it is one way, you know? Mm. And I think that's where I fell a bit uneasy in that it was one way and that was it. Because I liked parts of radio, but I also liked to explore different avenues. And I think that's the thing that, yeah, sometimes is a little bit hard is that there's that kind of opening to different ways. It doesn't feel like it's an easy thing there.
Mm. I mean, I laugh so much when I hear some radio personalities doing podcasts and they do their big thank yous at the end to all of the producers that they help produce their fucking podcast. And I think like, mate, you need a microphone. You need to like learn how to press the upload button. You didn't need six people to produce this. So I think
guys,
that there is that level where it's like...
We were going to start saying thank you to our producer because she does edit the show. So will you think we're wankers now?
Do you pay her?
Yeah.
No, well, no, don't thank her.
She's been... Well, no, she was an intern for 12 months and we've started... We're just about to hire her part-time paid.
Yeah. And this is the announcement show. Fuck yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. You're hired.
They've got an exclusive. I mean, this is the thing. I reckon that the stuff that we need to be really careful of, like I personally think, I'm speaking to myself here, is it's like not to listen to podcasts and think and then all of a sudden start merging that shit in to like the thing that's making podcasting great is the nimble nature of podcasting that when, and so I think that there is that, even how people speak within a podcast, like I listened to a podcast yesterday where the person was doing an intro and they've had a huge amount of radio experience. And I was like, oh, it almost seems like you're parodying what a podcast should be. And so I think that that's a, That's a big one for me. I just feel like I where my energy goes is I don't want, as soon as I feel like we're sounding like how everyone else is sounding, for me that is alarm bells, because whilst that might work when you're transitioning one big show on a national drive slot, it's not going to work if you've got thousands of shows to pick from.
It's interesting. Well, it's interesting because we went from podcasting to radio back to podcasting and now drop different shows with different kind of vibes most of the days of the week. And we went very early at the beginning of launching the pod channel this year, we went back to just that podcasting vibe. And we were getting a lot of radio listeners and we were introducing them to podcasts. Yeah. So we had to actually find a bit of a balance where we still had the banter that just went on for however long. And if you went off topic, it was fine. You just circle, you don't go back, you keep going.
Yeah.
And we have that at the same time, we're trying to build an online brand. So we'd like people to know that rating and reviews allow us to get more listeners. You know, those types of, I suppose, messagings were very, very minimal on our podcast show before. And I actually think that's helped a little bit. So whilst I get that, I think that there's room for a bit of a balance, especially as well when they become more commercial, which ours has become. It was interesting because we swear a lot on our show, but we've had sponsors the last couple of months and there was we had a Lola Berry podcast, an interview, and she was which people loved it, but she said the C word, which I don't know how you guys feel about, so I'm not going to drop it. And we didn't edit it out, and we had a very big sponsor, and we had to go back. I made the decision. No one asked us, but I went, I wouldn't want them to this to be the one reason that they wouldn't come back. You know, so it's going to be interesting once things do become commercial too, because isn't that sometimes the beginning of the end for creativity?
Yeah, at what point?
Like, it's tricky. Well, it's very tricky.
Look at fucking Instagram. Yeah. Go on, Tommy. Sorry.
The biggest podcast in the world have they do what they want. Like the ones that I aspire to are the ones that don't have that. And I don't know.
Maybe what would you have done? Would you have beeped the C word?
Maybe run it past them. Do you guys want that? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe even that filter. So the thing is, Josh and I are not.
I mean, we've used the word and we've stopped swearing as much just because we realized that we were replacing our ums with fucks. Mm. So we've stopped doing that. But I think at the same time, for me, looking at the problem, like all of these things are small problems. So one of them is, okay, people are only going to leave us reviews when we actually tell them to leave reviews. Mm. So the way that I'm trying to tackle that problem is say, okay, well, how do we actually turn that into content rather than it just being, that was my annoyance in regards to radio's approach to social media, is it was always pushing to their website. They wouldn't put the content natively on the platform.
That was full on always, for a while there, wasn't it?
It's gross.
Yeah. They're pixelating shit. They're pixelating a fucking photo so you click through. I mean, yeah, morons. And so the thing is, like, I think that I'm probably sound a little bit jaded when I talk about radio because I've been in those meetings where I'm like, guys, this isn't good for the platforms. This isn't good for the audiences. But I think that my point around the review stuff is we definitely try and make it content. So rather than it just being a, hey, do the review, just being like, this was actually a funny thing that we found and we're going to do a whole bit of content and maybe this arc will go for 7 episodes where we're talking about this review or there's a joke around the review. Like Tommy tested out the review function. So if you go to the last 3 reviews on the podcast app, it says great banter, you know, keep it up, boys. And the name says Tommy fucking Jacket on it. Like how bad?
Can
like,
you change the name? I've always wondered that. So if you put, can you go back and put a different name?
No, it's your iPhone's name or your Apple account's name.
Yeah,
it's your Apple account.
It's the first one that you ever did. So some people would, and it's, I think it translates across to app reviews too. So some people will have names like Angry Birds is shit because the first thing they ever reviewed was Angry Birds and they couldn't come up with a name.
Those poor buggers.
Yeah. There's something liberating in doing what you want. It's the pushback on having to explain who our guest is. You kind of like it's this, I don't know, it's weird. It's very like performer to introduce a guest in that style. So it's I don't know what the new way of doing it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like just talking about our connection because it's real. It doesn't look into your achievements. It's you as a person. How the fuck do we know each other?
You're right.
Are we mates?
Because I think as well, the energy, I'm a big believer in that, it's a fact that everything's energy driven, right? As soon as you start getting anything synthetic on top of that connection, the energy shifts, you know, and I've always said this, whether it's a radio or a podcast listener, you can stiff it. You can stiff it a mile away. So without the mechanics, which is kind of your intro, your traditional intro of an episode, I suppose. I mean, I'm pretty sure all of the best creatives say that content is king, connection is king, right? Like the rest speaks for itself.
I think it takes time too because you're trying to, how can I be authentic in a situation that isn't the most natural? Like you get headphones on, you're holding a microphone, you know it's this. It's like when I started first talking to a camera, I remember my my forehead looked like a dirt jump track. Like it was so tight. And if you look at people that are trying to talk to a camera now, like you'll see it. They keep their eyebrows raised and their forehead just looks, you know.
And they're on edge.
Yeah, they're on edge. Hey guys, I'm here.
Yeah.
And so it takes time for you to just actually relax into yourself. Hamish Blake said it took him years. He said what did he say? He had an English accent at one point. It sounded like this, this nasally, and he's like, I don't even know who that was. Like he said something around, it was weird. I just hadn't settled into myself.
Yeah, and that as a person too is like you. I think we're all settling into ourselves as we get older, and then putting on top of that this kind of fake weird, I suppose. I've used the word bravado a lot this year because I think one of the biggest things that I've learned since I've stopped being in that environment is that of who I am without the bravado, without this kind of mask of a personality. And I don't think it's just people in entertainment. I think a lot of people at dinner parties or at work or the way they are at families have this kind of bravado mask that we're all kind of living under. It's just so much more extreme when you do this kind of work. So I myself have very much tried to figure out the kind of content I want to do, the things that the next projects I want to do without the bravado, very much so, more connection driven. And it sounds so ridiculous because everybody keeps saying authentic, authentic, authentic. If I hear that word, I'm going to hit myself in the face. But at the same time, yeah, I think it's less talk about authentic and more talking about getting to know who you actually are. Do you know what I mean? Because you can kind of give an idea of what your version of authenticity is, but if you haven't actually looked yourself in the mirror, actually know who the hell you are to be what your authenticity is.
I saw a woman on LinkedIn talking about authenticity and how important it is, and it couldn't have been more...
non-authentic?
Yeah. It was so embarrassing. It was like awkward. And the poor thing, she's probably new to doing it. Mm. So I wasn't really criticizing her, but it was just out of alignment with what she was talking about in the biggest way possible. Mm. And yeah, you're right. It is. Authentic is a buzzword. I've been using that term for a long time with stuff I create. Because it's like, and for me, authentic content to me means what connects with me the most. And so it's authentic to me first, and then other people will relate to it if they do. And
if
so
they
it's
want
just
to.
Truly what I think or what I'm truly interested in and where my curiosity lies and the story that actually appeals to me.
Mm.
And for that, for me, that's authentic content. So I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I think vulnerability is facing the same thing where I think that since doing the daily talk show, I've just consumed so much, like especially being away. So for people who don't know, I'm currently remote. I'm in France and I've just been spending heaps of time listening to stuff. And the amount of people who are talking about vulnerability rather than being vulnerable, like people are confusing the talking of vulnerability and let's get vulnerable and I'm being vulnerable right now rather than actually... like, when would you, in a moment that a vulnerability, actually point out the fact that you're being vulnerable?
I think the interesting part on that is that everybody has different vulnerability levels too. Like, often when we did our radio show, everyone was saying, oh my God, you're so vulnerable, you're so vulnerable. And so I would hear that. And then I realized in my personal life, I would think to myself, oh, I'm being vulnerable. But that might be vulnerable for the person telling me, because that person going on air and sharing these personal stories is, that's terrifying for them. That's showing this vulnerability. But then when I met my partner, that was when I had to learn about vulnerability. That was when I had to get out of this independent, you know, being single for 5 years and actually pull the walls down. And I was like, shit, I thought I was already vulnerable. And I went, oh no, actually vulnerability is very different for everybody. Your version of vulnerability is going to be very unique to the next person. So there isn't one version of that.
As you can hear, Stace took a real hit after that cop incident. She really had her heart set on that bloke. And here's a question for you. You know, so I think about things I would do on camera, like, you know, I would probably do some pretty crazy shit because it's on camera. And I feel like I can summon a level of courage to do something if it's being recorded because I know the value is, this is, you know, but if it wasn't recorded and it wasn't in that environment, maybe I wouldn't do some certain things. The same with being vulnerable. I think, do you think there's a mask that goes on for people that get this courage to be what they think is vulnerable, but do you think that's still being vulnerable in those moments?
I think it might be masked as vulnerability. I think it's something else. I think it's an adrenaline hit, or it's like a risk or a challenge. Like, I think there's something else driving it. I think maybe the result is people feel vulnerability from it, but maybe it's not that you're being vulnerable. Because I know that for a while there, I would be doing these types of topics in front of a national audience, and it was almost like I was told I couldn't do this. You know, there was something else driving me, yet everybody else was taking it as vulnerable. But I don't know, when I look back now, knowing levels of my true vulnerability, if that was actually vulnerable at all.
Yeah, I think
Lena Dunham said it, where people were really perplexed by all of her nudity in Girls, the season that she directed and starred in. The series. but she would look back at them and go, that's your vulnerability. I actually don't have an issue with being naked. Yeah. Mm. And that was when I kind of went, interesting.
Yeah, behind closed doors, vulnerability is a lot different. Having a hard conversation that you just don't want to have is being more vulnerable than standing on a street corner yelling that you're, you know, whatever.
I don't know. For a performer it is, because that's your job. You know, for somebody else, standing on the corner doing whatever example you're going to say might be very vulnerable for them. It's true. It's
well, I even feel that I'm more, like, I'll say things on the podcast that I won't even talk about with my family. So, like, that's been an interesting reflective thing of me. I'm like, well, shit, I haven't even said this to my family or close friends, and yet I'm having this conversation on the podcast.
It's so
weird. Do you ever fall into that?
Oh, I would never have had those conversations with any of my other girlfriends before I met Christy and started doing that show.
Yeah.
I swear, it was insane. And she says the same thing. She said, it wasn't like I was this friend and the one in the group that was always the one to talk about sex or always the one to share all of these stories. We just had a chemistry that got a bit of a buzz from having those conversations. So there was a buzz, but I also felt like, it became about a performance a bit too, which was quite thrilling and had that kind of adrenaline buzz. And also, I don't know what it is. You kind of feel like it's starting a conversation. I think that was a little bit of the drive too. It's creating something into the sphere. And it might not be creative like a painting, but you feel like you are starting something or creating something new.
Mm. Josh, just quickly.
Tommy and I talk about all for content. I just wanted to ask you, because just a little insight, when Tommy did his engagement video, he actually recorded the proposal next to water and you couldn't properly hear him doing the proposal. So he actually, I suggested, and he went ahead, and it's on YouTube, he recorded him saying his lines, what's known as ADR in the industry, in film. And he got Amy to do the response. So if you listen to the video, it's actually a recording after the fact.
It's like a VO. It's a bloody VO.
Exactly. Were you ever worried? Congratulations, you got married in New York recently. Were you conscious of it being hashtag all for content?
No, it wasn't at all. We didn't tell anybody about it. Honestly, it was kept pretty on the DL for that exact reason, and I kept it like a private time for almost close to a month, and then I put everything on Instagram, and then it almost kind of disconnected to my personal time and became about sharing. But there are still photos, like the photos in City Hall when we say our vows, just before we say them. There's particular parts of that day that I didn't consciously decide, but that felt like my favorite part of the day. Mm. No one will ever see those photos. So I didn't make this decision beforehand. I'm going to separate it, but I knew that that to me felt like something I wanted to keep. And so I kept it, and then the rest everybody got. And Jesus, everybody loved it. Oh my God. I could not. Yeah, it was a crazy response considering it's 2018. Just get married how you want.com. Like,
what are you excited about for the rest of the year? What, like, in general, in life?
This is a good way to finish up, because we're just getting a wrap up signal.
I am about to launch my own blog, which I feel like you guys talk about being late to podcasting. But I don't give a shit, because that's a way I think that I'm going to start having a bit of an idea of this. I don't know. I feel like it's a bit of a new chapter for me with, I suppose, a bit of a narrative of a lot of stuff that I've done behind the scenes for many years. And it's making me a bit nervous, because it's dancing around a self-helpy, I suppose, element. But I'm just going to do exactly as we were talking before and do the things that interest me and share the things that I want to share today, and not share because it comes under a Thinker Girls banner or comes under a radio banner or comes under a this will be great to get another job. I just want to be able to have a creative outlet to push things out that are current and what I'm into. So, I'm going to start that in the next month and start populating that, and just continuing to do the pod channel. Like, it's nice to have gotten to a place where we realized, you know, there's been a few times this year where we're like, well, we can keep doing it. Like, and it's become my part-time job in that I was thinking, shit, I'm going to have to go get a tally job, or I'm going to have to get something behind the scenes again. And the Thinker Girls just kept coming through. So it ended up being my other job. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. And also very new for me to be doing any kind of project on my own. Because for a very long time, working with Tommy, working with Christy, working with other different co-hosts, I've very rarely stepped out and shared content solo. So I'm very nervous about that, but I'm very excited.
It's the opposite journey to what Josh and I are doing.
Yeah.
We're joining together because we've been doing shit on our own. Yeah.
So I'll have to call you guys and say, I'm lonely. I please come back on the show? Well, I mean,
that's what I think is great about, especially what you're doing with Thinker Girls, is it's like you are scaling friendship. You're allowing people who might work on their own to be able to have a friend and to listen. So, yeah, we've been really inspired with, I know I've been really inspired with what you were doing with Thinker Girls, and that was really what got me thinking more and more about, you know, doing this type of podcast and providing and seeing the vulnerability that you and Christy have in your show and saying, well, why can't a couple of dudes actually do something that's not so fucking cliche and so obvious and so, you know, and try and be a bit more vulnerable, maybe a bit Thinker Boys. Hashtag Thinker Boys.
Yeah, we'll talk on about that. This
Tommy,
after the show,
Tommy,
Josh.
Tommy is not interested in going under that wing. Like, he doesn't want to be in the shadows. He's got his own path.
I just want to finish this. It's 96.9 Star FM. Tommy and Stace.
Oh, guys, this is the best. Wow. Very lovely.
The Daily Talk Show. Thanks, Stace.
Thanks, guys.